You want to play the thingy for the, what am I doing? Announcements, right? No, never mind. I need to take a nap too. Okay, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Rockwood United Methodist Church's Sunday morning worship service on this dreary but cooler day. Just a couple announcements before we get started. Do what? Oh yeah, I guess I should. Boy, I tell you, I do need to take a nap, apparently. Thank you, Clayton. I'll let that start itself. As far as announcements go this morning, this afternoon at 3 will be district conference, and they're going to be live streaming it. It's going to be a Zoom thing. Everyone is welcome to attend. I'm going to be here at 3. And we'll just stream it probably on the TV that's on that cart. I'll hook my computer to it and all that fun stuff. So, but everybody is invited to attend that at 3 o'clock. And then, let's see, Bible study is at 6 o'clock. We're still having it over at Terry and Nora Lee's house. And we are going to start on the general epistles. So the first one of the general epistles is the letter of James. So we will we'll be doing that. And I can't think of anything else. Do you remember me saying anything else this morning at Chevron? I don't think I did. So with that, let us begin our worship service. One quick announcement that I thought of during that. We are going to do communion this Sunday. So you should have been able to pick up a communion set, I guess, at the two entrances. If for some reason you didn't, but you want to participate in communion, there should be one on each table in a basket in each entry. And communion will be a little bit different today, but similar enough that we can all figure it out. And I know that our reopening plan does say that communion is suspended. The only reason for that is because we weren't sure how to do it safely. But when I submitted the plan to the district superintendent, she suggested seeing if we could find the communion elements that we have, and I was able to find some. So we're going to do communion because communion is important, and we haven't done it in quite a long time. So, but with that, as you are able to, please stand as we affirm our faith together with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Glory be to the Thank you. You may be seated. I know we have a hymn coming up, but since we have to do hymns differently, I figure we can be seated. Our first hymn is going to be Grace Greater Than Our Sin, and we're going to do the first and last. So we're not supposed to sing, but Clayton had sent an email out, and I agree with him. Music is important in worship. It's throughout Scripture, people worship God with music. And many of our hymns are very deep theologically, and so it's good to keep them in. So pretty much what we're going to do is what we did last Sunday. Clayton will play. You can feel free to recite the words either out loud or to yourself. And that way we participate in some of these hymns while still trying to stay, you know, reasonably safe. So this will be our first hymn. At this time, we like to bring our prayer requests as well as our praises before the body and before the Lord. I come bearing some prayer requests. One is from Chevrant. Y'all may know Bud and Jane who go there. Bud has started to take a new medication, and one of the side effects is that it makes you dizzy. And so Bud has been very dizzy the last couple days. They didn't come to church today because obviously he didn't want to drive being dizzy. But we just want to pray for him that the side effects will lessen. Most medications, side effects do go away after your body gets used to them. But pray that his dizziness and all would lessen. First off, because, well, nobody likes to be dizzy. But also, he's the only one of the two of them that drives, and so he's their mode of transportation. So just keep them in your prayers, if you will. Also, you may notice Larry's not here. That's because Arville is not doing all that great. Some of you may know that he's been falling a lot. He hasn't broken anything, thankfully, but he's also having lapses in memory and things like that. And he doesn't want to go to any type of nursing home, assisted living, anything like that. So Larry said that basically right now they're just taking turns staying with him. And of course, on top of that, Larry has Alice to take care of as well. So he asked that we would pray for his family and especially for him because he's just, you know, he's got a lot of things going on. And we all know Larry, he will take on every responsibility known to man. And the problem with that is that eventually you can't. So just pray for him, for strength and for wisdom, and also just for the ability to say, I need to take a break. And then Lynette's mom, my mother-in-law, should hopefully get cleared by her doctors for all of the infection and all that kind of stuff that she's been dealing with. And if she does, then next week, Liliana, it is next week. Oh, next week, Liliana will not know what's going to happen next week. But you can probably guess. You use your deductive reasoning and figure it out. And keep them in your prayers for that thing that Liliana doesn't know about. So, does anybody else have any prayer requests? Oh, I did think of one more. Keep Wanda in your prayers. She's been having trouble with her knee. And she said that she almost didn't make it to church last Sunday, but I kind of didn't expect her here this Sunday because she said it's really been bothering her. And I'll just, since it's live streaming and Wanda might be watching, go to the doctor, Wanda. But pray for Wanda that she will feel better and that she will go to the doctor because Wanda is like many of us. She doesn't need to go to the doctor, even when she needs to go to the doctor. So keep her in your prayers, if you will. Does anyone else have any requests they'd like to share? Yes, Nancy.
My grandson, Mike Daniels, is a firefighter, EMT, and he got
killed his job. Yeah. Is he? Okay. Yeah, Nancy, you'd shared that at Bible study. And her nephew, right? Grandson, Lord have mercy. I do need a nap, Clayton. I do need one. Her grandson had contracted COVID from his job and everything, and he's not feeling well at all. He's very sick. So that does remind me of a praise. We had prayed for my friend Stephanie, who got COVID from her job, and she is better and back to work and all that kind of stuff. So I'm very thankful for that. Does anyone else have any requests they'd like to share? All right. Well, if not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for this time we can spend together in fellowship with one another and in worship of you. Lord, we invite your spirit to dwell amongst us as we attempt with your help to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who enjoys communing with us. You enjoy relationship. You want us to talk to you, to bring our concerns to you, to bring our joys and our praises. So, Lord, we do that today. We thank you for those who have recovered from various illnesses and sicknesses, and we thank you that they feel better. And, Lord, for those that maybe are having issues with some sicknesses and things such as that, we pray that you would be with them, that you would provide comfort, healing, and strength. May you give wisdom and discernment to all those who need it. And Lord, we live in a time where, like any time in human history, honestly, where people are being people. And it seems like it's thrown in our face every day, the depths that we can descend to. But Lord, you remind us of the heights that you will carry us to. And so we pray, Lord, that in the midst of all of the chaos and the uncertainty and the fear and all these things that go on in the world, that we would be light in the darkness, that we would remember that heaven and earth may pass away, but your word will never pass away, and you will never pass away, but will be with us until all things have been renewed. We pray all these things, Lord, in the beautiful and glorious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we pray together the words that he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn is Trust and Obey. And again, you may stay seated for our little bit different way of doing hymns this day. Trust and Obey. Hey, Clayton, can you do me a favor? When scripture and sermon time come, will you try and live stream it? My phone is acting all kinds of crazy. It doesn't want to live stream today. So at this time, we would like to ask the Lord to bless our tithes and our offerings. And just so you know, there's a basket here and there's one at the double doors at the back that you can drop your offering in. And we will take the bag and put it in Wanda's office so that she can count it. You can also mail in an offering if you happen to have forgotten something. You can mail it in or drop it off at the church when you see Minor Wanda's vehicles here. And we also are still getting online giving for free from the conference. So if you go on our Facebook page, at the very top of it is a section about giving, and you should be able to just click the link and it should take you directly to Rockwood. But as always seems to happen, at least with me, you may not go straight to Rockwood, but it's pretty simple. You just click where it says your church and find your church, and then the district sends us a check. I believe it's every week that we have money in there. So you may give that way as well. But let us say a blessing over our tithes and offerings. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Lord, as we prepare to give back of those blessings, may we be reminded, as always, that we do not give out of fear. We do not give out of greed. We do not give out of worry. We don't give for any other reason, Lord, than because we love you and we want to worship you and we seek to love our neighbor as ourselves. Lord, may you bless the givers, may you bless the receivers, may all come to know Christ, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Let's see. As you're able to, please stand for the reading of Scripture. Our Scripture today is found in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 23, verses 31 through 32. I feel like that isn't what the beginning verse is. Sorry, I think there was a typo in the bulletin, and that's what's going on here. So pardon me for a minute while I get the actual text here. Matthew 21, 23 through 32. There we go. That may have been my fault too. So Matthew 21, verses 23 through 32. Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. "By what authority are you doing these things?" they asked. "Who gave you this authority?" Jesus replied, "I'll also ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or of human origin?" They discussed it among themselves and said, "If we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." Then he said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work today in the vineyard.' I will not, he answered, but later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, 'I will, sir,' but he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? The first, they answered. Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him. This is the word of God to the people of God. Praise be to God. You may be seated. You may have noticed I got a little confused reading the scripture there. That's because you may or may not know this. Sometimes Greek isn't very clear about first and second. And so when I was at Chevron, I read from the New American Standard, and they put the first son as being the one who says he will and doesn't, and the second son is saying he won't and does. And that's actually probably more accurate given Jesus' story and his point. But the NIV flips them, and so I thought, man, where in the world did I miss something? So that was the new International Version's fault, not mine that time. So Jesus' parables. When Jesus teaches in parables, the one thing that's always amazing to me is that even to this day, Jesus' parables are relatable. There are things in Scripture that we don't necessarily understand, at least not the way that the first century Jewish people would have understood them. But sometimes we have to study, sometimes we have to get culture in there, sometimes we have to know a lot about sections of the Old Testament and things like that. But Jesus' parables were told to common people. And even though we're sort of not quite a post-agricultural society, but on the other side of agricultural society, we still can understand a lot of these things, especially in the South where, not that long ago, the vast majority of Southerners were farmers or new farmers. And even to this day, many of us know something about farming. At least, we have a general idea. Chevron, for instance, is right next to a cow pasture. So, you look out the windows of their church and there's a cow pasture, right? And I think they actually have cows. It's one of those things you just kind of get used to and you don't think to look anymore. And of course, it doesn't take you long to drive around and you can see cows. And if you head over towards Oak Ridge, they have, I'm not sure what they are, if they're alpaca or llamas or something, but they're one of those type of animals. It doesn't take you long to drive and see agriculture. You see corn. Yesterday, we went for a little bit of a drive up in the Smoky Mountains, and we came across some cornfields and some cows on the side of a hill that was as steep as it can be. And, I thought to myself, now I've seen cows and they're not the brightest animals. I don't know how in the world they manage to stand on that hill. It's kind of humbling because I know if I was on that hill, I'd probably trip and fall and roll down the hill. So even an animal that's as bright as a cow still can, do things that I can't. But we can understand agriculture to a certain extent. And we know that, for instance, agriculture requires work, right? It's not something you can just sort of let go. If you've ever tried to have even a small garden, you know that you don't so much garden as you weed, right? You spend most of your time with a garden trying to keep weeds out, trying to keep deer out, and rabbits and other animals. And eventually, hopefully, you have a crop that you can take and have way too much of, and you wonder why in the world you planted a garden this year, and you're never going to do it again until next year when you do it again. And the food pantry gets more zucchini than they can ever do anything with, and the cycle continues. If you don't milk cows, guess what? They get kind of upset. And it can actually kill a cow if you don't milk it properly. Even with all of our technology, our farming technology and all these things, you still have to have a human element to any type of farming. And so when we read Jesus' words about this story, about these two sons who, their father owns a vineyard and he asked them to go work in the vineyard, we understand the importance of actually working in the vineyard. Vineyards need people to work in them. If nothing else, birds love grapes. They love grapes. They think they're the greatest thing in the world. So guess what? If you don't go out in the vineyard on a regular basis, the birds will take care of your vineyard for you. So what happens is Jesus tells the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, he says, listen, this guy had two sons. One was the oldest son, one was the firstborn. And he said, I need you to go work in the vineyard. And the oldest son said, okay, Dad, I'll go work in the vineyard. But then, you know, he said, boy, it sure is a nice day to go fishing. I think I'd rather go fishing. What does it matter anyway, right? Because the vineyard's mine anyway. When Dad kicks the bucket, it goes to me, right? So just hire people to do it, you know, whatever. So he goes off and he goes fishing. And Dad goes to his secondborn. He says, go work in the vineyard. And his secondborn says, I don't know, Dad. I have lots of other things I'd rather do. So, but then, you know, he kind of feels guilty and he thinks, you know, my dad's done a lot for me, and all he's really asking me to do is, you know, go check on the vineyard. I'll go check on the vineyard. Jesus says, which one was essentially the better son? And the Pharisees said, well, the one who actually did what, not what he said he would do, but what he was asked to do. Well, now they've put their foot in it because Jesus tells them, you know, you guys are Jews. You have the law of Moses. You have the law of God. You've had it for thousands of years. You have been called God's people. Since you were born, you were told we are God's people. And in fact, even more so because you're the only tribe of the original 12 that has not married itself into obscurity. So, you walk around and say, we're Jews. By default, we have the kingdom of God. And it's caused you to get lazy, and it's caused you to be apathetic, and it's caused you to say, we'll be the gatekeepers. We'll tell people what to do. We won't do it ourselves, but we'll tell people what to do. And he says, but the Gentiles, they don't know God. At one time they did, but they don't know him anymore. And yet, when the Messiah comes, and yet when John the Baptist, the precursor to the Messiah, comes, all these people believe. And you sit here and question me, and you question John. See, the Pharisees had the law, and if you've ever read the law of Moses, it's pretty thick. And it's kind of boring at parts, and it's kind of strange at parts. It has a lot of rules. And the Jews did this thing where they said, well, we got all these rules, let's add some more. Because that's how law works, right? If you ever look at law, if you go to a law library, just look at all the case law. There's just volumes and volumes and volumes of case law that is based on interpretations of the Constitution. You ever read the Constitution? It's not that long. But there are probably billions of pages of case law trying to help us understand what the Constitution says, right? We're still arguing about it today. The reason we have a Supreme Court is because different things come up and we say, how does this relate to the Constitution? How do we understand this? How do we interpret this? So it's a human thing to take simple law and make it infinitely more complex. But you know who hates law more than any group of people? Lawyers and judges and paralegals. They hate law. You know why? Because they got to keep up with it. And lawyers, for instance, they have to defend or prosecute based on an interpretation of the law. While their opponent might be complaining, or I should say arguing, another side of it. And judges have to figure this stuff out, right? Legalists hate the law because the law is a burden. So when Jesus comes, he gives two laws. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. He says, all the law and all the prophets hang on these two laws, on these two commandments. It's what you do. And of course, the Pharisees being the Pharisees, when he says that, well, who's my neighbor? And Jesus tells the parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus is saying to the religious elite, you know how to follow the law perfectly. But instead of using it as a tool for peace and justice and love and prosperity, you just use it to keep people away. One of the things that has always been interesting to me, having worked in recovery, addicts have some of the strongest faith that you have ever seen. They do. Yes, I know. They're still drinking. They're still doing meth. They've given up custody of their children because they can't put down the crack pipe, right? I know that. You know that. We all know that. We see it and we say, what's that person's problem? What a horrible, terrible person. Nobody knows that better than they do. But they have a strong faith, and not just an abstract faith. Their faith is, I believe in Jesus. I believe that Jesus can free me from this addiction. I don't believe that Jesus is the problem. I'm the problem. And many of them won't come to church. Because, well, they're addicts. An addiction makes you do things like not bathe, act goofy, not have control, Jesus says to the Pharisees, while you sit in the synagogues and know the law, the drug addicts are entering the kingdom of God. It should be a very humbling thing to read that as righteous as the Pharisees were, the people that they called filth will get into the kingdom before they do. Because the kingdom of God is not about how well you keep the law. It's about who you place your faith in. It's important to follow the moral law. It absolutely is. Scripture, even the New Testament says, follow the moral law, follow the moral law. Whoever is in Christ does not sin. Follow the moral law, absolutely. But John says when we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father who is Christ. The question we have to ask ourselves is, do we know the law and follow it? Or do we know the lawgiver and follow him? Brothers and sisters, the beautiful thing about the gospel is you can't earn your way into heaven. You can't. It's not a popularity contest. God doesn't look at Nancy and Georgie and say, I like Nancy's shade of red better, so she gets to come into the nicer part of the house. No. He looks at all of us. And he says, I love all of you. Therefore, you are all welcome at my table. You all get to eat the same food from my table. But some of you are so worried about how the food was prepared, you forget to just be thankful that the food is there free. Let us not make Christianity about the law. Let us make it about the lawgiver. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Lord, as we prepare our hearts for Holy Communion, we ask that we would be reminded what it symbolizes. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. May we take that as our mission statement throughout our lives. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Holy Communion will be a little bit different. It will be the same responsive reading that we're all used to. The primary difference is that we will take it where we're seated. When I say the part about taking the bread and eating it, we will take the wafer and eat it. And then when I say the part about the cup, we'll take the cup and we'll do it in communion. So let us begin our communion. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you. He broke the bread. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake of the bread together. When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let us partake of the cup together. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, brothers and sisters, receive the benediction. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, may you be blessed with all the blessings of heaven. And accepting those blessings, may you take them and give them to all who you encounter. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are dismissed. Go in peace.